It's time for the Longines Chronoscope, a television journal of the important issues of the hour, brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A presentation of the Longines Whitnor Watch Company, maker of Longines, the world's most honored watch, and Whitnor, distinguished companion to the world-honored Longines.
Good evening, this is Frank Knight. May I introduce our co-editors for this edition of the Longines Chronoscope? Edward P. Morgan and Winston Burdett, both of the CBS television news staff. Our distinguished guest for this evening is the Honorable Prescott Bush, United States Senator from Connecticut.
Senator Bush, just the other night, a Republican colleague of yours in the House of Representatives, Congressman Hugh Scott of Philadelphia, sitting in the same seat that you're occupying now on Chronoscope, had some rather rough things to say about what he called the extreme right wing of the Republican Party. He said, in effect, that this wing was shackling, was hobbling the Eisenhower administration's program and regime, and that it should stop it. What is your comment on that, sir?
Well, I noticed that Mr. Scott made remarks to that effect. My feeling was that they were a little severe and not entirely justified. I think that so often votes down there take place on what I'd call an area basis rather than a party basis, and sometimes it gives the impression that within the party there are dissidents who are making things difficult. Of course, I don't want to deny the fact that there have been some Republicans in both houses that have been a little bit reluctant to go along with some of the administration's plans and some of the Congress's ideas. Nevertheless, I feel that in any great important issues, that the Republicans would pretty much stand together. I don't entirely agree with Mr. Scott.
By important issues, do you mean domestic issues, Senator, or issues of national security?
Well, I would say issues of paramount national interest, national importance that might really affect the national security and be generally recognized as issues that affect the national security.
Well, let's approach the contentious elements of the discussion from another angle, Senator.
I might say right there in that connection, there's a further, if I may, that I can hardly think of a vote which has been what we might call a part of the Eisenhower program, and I think there are 47 votes that might be said to be votes of that character where the Republicans didn't pretty well hang together on that. The Democrats split much more often than the Republicans did. That's a matter of record.
Yes, sir. To continue, if we may, for a moment, the contentious elements of politics, Mr. Truman interrupted a long silence the other day on Labor Day, and there was an accompanying tinkle of shattered glass, so to speak. He attacked the administration with both fists, and as I remember his speech, he said that this was a business administration and that it was not doing the public, the common people as a whole, any good, and that it would raise the interest rates, which helped money changers, but not much else, and that it wasn't doing any good with public resources. Now, that's a large mouthful, but maybe you'd like to handle it piecemeal.
Well, Mr. Morgan, I read most of Mr. Truman's speech in Detroit, which is the one I presume you refer to, and to me it was very reminiscent of October 1952. It's very hard for me to believe that the people of the United States think that President Eisenhower is a tool of the selfish interest. They just won't believe that kind of charges because there's no basis of fact in them whatever. And I think the president, the ex-president, Mr. Truman, should recall when he was talking about the greedy interests or the selfish few or whatever they were, how he classified them in this particular speech, that it was one of the issues in the 1952 campaign was to get rid of the corruption and the greed that had sort of hemmed him in and resulted in his having to dismiss three or four chairmen of the Democrat National Committee in succession because of those things.
Of course, the Democrats would come right back at you there, I suppose, and say that the Republicans were obliged in the very first few months of office to dismiss one of their own chairmen.
Yes, that's true. They might say that, but anyone that looks at the facts in that case wouldn't really consider that was a comparable case at all.
Well, Senator,
Senator, was right out in the open. I mean, that with Mr. Roberts, it was a very unfortunate thing. I agree, but I don't think it's comparable to the things we're thinking about at all.
Senator, on this subject of higher interest rates, I think the President gave us some cue as to the political ammunition that the Democrats will be using as they look ahead to the congressional midterm elections. You were a member of the Banking and Currency Committee.
That's
right. Most of us are men on the street when it comes to these banking matters. Do you have any man-on-the-street answer, any man-on-the-street explanation of the higher interest rate policy of the administration?
Well, the real answer to the situation is that the policy of the Eisenhower administration is to stop inflation, to return to the people a sound dollar, an honest dollar, so that when a man has saved some money, that money will be as worth as much in goods and services 5 years, 10 years from now as it is the time he saved it. Now, that is the policy of the Eisenhower administration. In order to do that, one of the things they had to do was stop suppressing interest rates, which for years was done by the previous administration, one of the most inflationary things you can possibly do. As was so very well pointed out by that outstanding senator on the Democrat side, Mr. Paul Douglas of Illinois. He's the one that made the case for the policy of the Eisenhower administration in favor of stopping inflation and therefore stopping the inflationary forces. In other words, you've got to attack it at its roots and not on the surface. And that's what's happened.
Senator.
And, as a matter of fact, interest rates have gone up some, but they started going up, as Mr. Truman very well knows, in March of 1951. And they have gone up since then, up until last June, and they've sort of stabilized now.
To get to another area of Mr. Truman's allegations, you were also a member of the Public Works Committee, I believe.
Yes.
And as such, probably have something that you would care to say in answer to his charges that matters of public domain are being taken away from the people in the service of private interests, such as the Hell's Canyon Dam project on the Snake River. Something to do with the St. Lawrence Seaway, although I don't believe he mentioned that specifically in his speech.
Well, I'm not, haven't become in detail familiar with the Hell's Canyon Dam project. I simply would refute any statement that anything is being taken away from the people. That is not the case at all. It has long been the philosophy of this country that the duty of government is to do only those things for the people which the people cannot do for themselves. And where private companies are able to do business, the government doesn't go and do the business. Now, when things have to be done, and private business is not able to do it, then the time, and they must be done, then the government should do it. Some of the projects, some of the power that's been developed by government should have been developed by government. Now, in the case of the Hell's Canyon Dam, as I say, I'm not in detail familiar with that. But certainly, I feel sure of one thing, that if that is an essential project, and the private interest can't do it, then I think it would be proper for the government to do it. The evidence seems to be so far from my slight familiarity with it that there are interests standing by, well qualified, well financed, well able to develop the power on that river, and that therefore it may be unnecessary for the government to do it.
One
as far as the St. Lawrence Seaway is concerned, that's an entirely different question. It doesn't involve power.
It doesn't now
not
because
the St.
they've
Lawrence
broken it down.
Seaway,
that, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's another subject, though, and I think that a project of that kind, regardless of its merits, should be held off as long as you can. As long as we have such a high rate of business activity, we don't want to superimpose on it a big public works program. They should be held in reserve.
Will you yield?
When we need them.
Will the Senator yield for
yes,
just a second while
sorry.
I suggest that we broaden the subject
yeah.
And discuss something that's on everybody's mind day in and day out, and that's the Cold War. Are we fighting it effectively? Are we spending too much money on it? Are we fighting it in a hard or a soft way? What are your thoughts about it, sir?
Well, I feel we've made very definite headway with respect to the Cold War, that the indecision and lack of purpose has been replaced by careful planning, which is characteristic of General Eisenhower's operations. We've had success. We have seen truce in Korea. We have seen at least a stoppage of the bloodshed. What may come out of it yet, we aren't sure, but certainly that's a plus for us. We've had, we've seen food riots in East Berlin. We've seen the picture of a young man trying to fight a Russian tank with his bare hands, with a rock. It's something a year ago you never believed you would have seen. We have seen a great victory in Germany. That's a diplomatic victory for the United States as well as for Adenauer. That's a victory in the Cold War. And we have seen here the Congress cooperating with the President in such matters as voting to send surplus foods to Europe, legislation which will admit into this country over the next couple of years something over 200,000 refugees from behind the Iron Curtain. That was a Cold War bullet we were shooting there, and a very effective one in the opinion of the managers of the Cold War. So that I say, Mr. Morgan, I think we have made in this year a very marked and noticeable progress in connection with the Cold War. Included in that, too, should be our efforts to get at this subversion business within our own government.
Which brings us down quickly to a final question, Senator Bush, and that is, what do you think is the decisive issue or issues in the 54 congressional elections? Very quickly.
Well, is that, you ought to give me more than 1 minute for that.
I'm sorry.
I would say that the decisive issue is going to be the record of the Eisenhower administration for the first 2 years, or you might say right up to now, next year. That's going to be the record. If the Eisenhower administration and the Republican Congress has not had time this year to complete its program, to do full justice to the planks in our own platform.
You feel it will stand on its own merits.
I feel that it will stand and stand successfully when that time comes.
Thank you very much, Senator Bush.
Yes, sir.
The opinions that you've heard our speakers express tonight have been entirely their own. The editorial board for this edition of the Lone Gene Chronoscope was Edward P. Morgan and Winston Pritchard, both of the CBS Television News Hub. Our distinguished guest was the Honorable Prescott Bush, United States Senator from Connecticut.